In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I try to give the main lines of the book of Job. Who read this book before? You know the book of Job? I think all of us know the story of Job. Not only the Christians, many of non-Christians know the story of Job, who lost everything through many temptations and he was in troubles, but how, when he was patient and he was trusting God, everything has been restored, and he became very glorious at his last at the end. Now I just want to give an idea about these main lines. At first, I want to speak about this book and its relationship with especially Saint John Chrysostom. You know Saint John Chrysostom? He loved two persons in his life, Saint Paul and Saint Job. Saint Paul, because he was, Saint John Chrysostom, because he in fact was inflamed with love. And he hoped that the whole world become Christians, and he was concerned in the salvation of every human being, and he devoted all his life, all his gifts for this work. What is it? He loved Saint Paul. When you read just some quotations concerning Saint Paul, you discover how truly he loved Saint Paul. It is said once he gave an appointment to a person. When he came to see him, his disciple tried to open the door. He found him speaking with a person. They were very interested in the speech, and they speak seriously. Then he said to the guest, "I can't interrupt the bishop or Archbishop Chrysostom." Second time he tried to open the door, he found him very busy with this guest. And the third time, the person who has the appointment, he left him. So afterwards, Saint John Chrysostom asked his disciple, "Is there anybody came and asked for me?" He said, "Yes. Why you didn't call me?" He said, "Every time I opened the door, I found you very busy. I couldn't interrupt you." He said, "Nobody was in my office." He said, "No, there was a person you were speaking together. For three times I looked to you and you were speaking very seriously." Then he bring all the icons. He looked to the icon of Saint Paul. He said, "This man was with you." At that time he was reading some of the episodes of Saint Paul and trying to have some comments and concerning this episode. He discovered how God sent to him even Saint Paul to explain many things concerning the episode of Saint Paul. When he wrote some letters, especially to the deaconess Olympias, he wrote to her, "When I speak or I write concerning Saint Paul or Job, I become very absorbed in their personalities, and it is too hard for me to leave them and to complete the topic which I am writing concerning it." When he tried to write anything and he just mentioned Saint Paul, he speaks about Saint Paul and he forget what he was written for. The same thing concerning Job, because Job was man of suffering and the Saint John Chrysostom was man of suffering. His close two friends, in fact Saint Paul and Job, one of the Old Testament and the other from the New Testament, because he was man of suffering and he was man of preaching. The personality of Job is is marvelous. He was one of the great persons in the East. It is said that he was a king, and he was very rich, and he was very famous, and he was very wise. He used to take care of those who were suffering and to be like a judge, especially on the many cases concerning those who were suffering. In the book of Job, the first sense, we see God at his throne, and the angels of God came, and it is said among those angels, which he called them sons of God, he came to speak with God. And God entered in dialogue with Satan. What about your work? He said, I was walking and working all over the world. He said, what about Job? He said, what about Job? He said, he is a good person. He is a perfect person, righteous one. And he declined or didn't do something wrong. He said, no, because you gave him a lot of gifts. Take all these gifts, he will deny you. And he will curse you. Here I want just to have just a comment. How God is very, very decent even with Satan. And sometimes we are not patient even with our families, with our dad, mom, with our even the father in confession, or with our friends. And we are sometimes saying, I don't want to enter in dialogue with this person or that person because he is very tough. God, when he spoke with Satan, in fact was speaking in a very nice way. Yani, I hope that we can deal with others as God was dealing even with Satan. We can't imagine how God, I can say, is involved in the freedom of his creature. It's very important how to deal with others, how to have dialogue with others. Sometimes we do not want to enter in dialogue with others. God is involved in, or he is interested in the freedom. He wants even the Satan has freedom, and the angels of God and men. Sometimes we misunderstand authority. We want to give orders and others to obey. When we look into the dialogues, not only once but many times in the book of Job between God and the devil, we didn't see God was giving order and Satan has to obey. He can't accept that. He left him to speak frankly, and he entered in dialogue with him. Truly, the devil was not righteous, he is wicked, and through his wicked, he condemned himself. But he left him in freedom. I feel shame that sometimes we as priests or as Christians, we do not give the chance to others to enter in dialogue with us, and in a very sweet dialogue. We have a story in the book of what we call the book of the paradise of monks. The scientific name is, he has it another name. It is said once Saint Macarius was in his way from the field to the monastery. On his way, he has one of his disciples. He was very young. He started to work, to walk quickly. On his way, he met a priest, a pagan priest, and he found the pagan priest was walking very quickly. He said, where are you going, O son of Satan? He said, why you called me that? He said, because you are not Christian, you believe in the idols, you worship Satan and all his angels and so on. Then he entered and he struggled against him until the monk almost dead. When Saint Macarius passed with the pagan priest, he said, "Oh, how you are walking very hard, you are a very active person." And he was smiling. He said, "Who told you that you are, that I am active?" He said, "I see you are very active. I love the active persons." He said, "Why you said that?" He said, "I love you." And he started to speak in a very sweet way. He said, "Why your disciple was very tough with me?" And he confessed that he almost killed him, but on the last moments of his death. And they carried him to the monastery. And the pagan priest was converted to Christianity and insisted to be a monk. Through what? Sweet dialogue. Preaching Christianity, in fact, not by argument. Christianity can be tasted or experienced through the sweetness of Christians. I remember once a person, he came to me, he wanted to be converted to Christianity. And because he loved a Christian little girl. And he said, "I will not marry her until her parents accept me after my conversion to Christianity." Her parents refused. He said, "No, Abuna, I can't accept her." He was very, very decent. I loved him too much. And I myself said to Tasuni, my wife, "I myself loved this person, not she as a little lady." He was very sweet. Then I asked him, he said, "Okay, her family refused. I will not marry her, but I want to be converted to Christianity." I said, "Why?" He said, "Father, I loved her because she was very sweet in her dialogue, and she was very pure and lived in chastity. And he said to me, I want to convert to Christianity because all my family are very stiff, they hate Christian. I said to myself, impossible, their religion is the truth if their God said that they have to hate men." And he couldn't accept his religion because his relatives are very stiff with others. The only way to attract others to Christianity is love, especially in a sweet dialogue with them. Christianity is not a need to defend the dogmas, the Holy Trinity and arguments and so, all the doctrines. The world is in need of love. When they see God in you, and God is love, they can accept Christianity. Therefore, we can learn from God Himself in His dealing with Satan that we have to attract others through sweetness and through good dialogue with others. Satan, or the devil, took a permission and for damaging all the properties of Job. And his sons and daughters were killed suddenly. And there are many, many troubles happened in no time, very quickly, and the damage very high, and as it that, and all the circumstances very bad, very bad. Job lost his properties, lost his sons, his daughters, and all his body was in fact sick, and there are sores, and as it is said, he has a garment of worms. All his body was covered with the worm. His wife also became against him, and she entered in dialogue with him in very bad way. And she said to him, "May you curse God and God. In the Bible it is, may you bless God." And if you look behind, it is said, the literally it is curse, not bless. In the second version you find it, curse God. If we make a comparison between Job and while he was in, among the garbage, and Adam in the paradise, who was more glorious, Adam or Job? Saint John Chrysostom said, Adam was in the paradise, but he was far away from God. He lost his honor, he lost his dignity, he lost his glory, and he couldn't glorify God. He escaped from God, tried to be hidden behind the trees. Job, in fact, was among the garbage, but he sang a very nice song. God himself, the heavenly host, enjoyed this song. And very little song, sorry, I read Job in Arabic, not in English, but he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord." In the Septuagint there is another word, it is, "May the will of God be done." May the will of God is done. These two or three lines of song, we can say, a very precious sacrifice offered from Job to God. Job, in fact, was defeated even through the words of Adam. Job was victorious, and he attracted his wife to be glorious with him. Therefore, if we make comparison between the two, Adam was in very shameful way. He lost the garment of chastity, and he lost his obedience to God. He lost his communication with the source of life. On the opposite, Job, we can call him another Adam. He was glorified, he accepted suffering with thanksgiving, he offered a sacrifice to God more precious than any other sacrifice. I want here just to give a comment from Origen, you know Origen from Second Century. When you are suffering, how you can overcome suffering? How? What you do? If you are suffering by any way, how you can pray? Whatever. Thanks God. When I receive something, some gifts from God, and I thank God, I thank Him because He granted me something. Then it looks like I pay the debt. When I am suffering and I said to God, "Thank you, my Lord, you granted me suffering, and I trust that surely you are working in me, and I believe everything will be for my edification," then God says, I became debtor and he has credit, then I have to pay to this suffered person. When you thank God while you are suffering, as if you oblige God to work. Therefore, I always, when I see somebody is suffering, I say to him, "Do you want to pass over this problem?" The only way, from all your heart, say to God, "Oh, I accept everything thankfully from your hand." And God will grant you more than you imagine. I spoke about God. who truly wants every rational being to be in freedom. Concerning Job, Job was a man of suffering, and he was giving thanks to God even while he was suffering. Now about the friends. His friends surely at first were very emotional, very kind. They came, they accepted to be or to surround him for 1 week, although the bad smelling which coming out from all his body. And they were silent. It is good because they couldn't speak when they looked him in very bad situation. We can't criticize them. But in their hearts, they have a kind of envy or jealous, because he was the first, the greatest man in the East at that time. When he started to speak and to ask, why God did that for me? I want God to tell me what I had done so that I repent. I can't imagine that I did something on which I am merit or I deserve to have all this suffering or these troubles. It was a good chance for those people to start and to attack him by all means. Sometimes by their own experience, they said, we are very old, we have good experience. In all our lives, we didn't find any righteous man who is suffering like you. Then surely you are a hypocrite, and you are truly the chiefest or the chief of sinners. And they also depend on theology which they received orally. And everyone tried to criticize him in very, very bad way. What happened? Job started to defeat him, to have a defense, and he started to be very angry, and even in his word, sometimes he didn't say the truth. Once he said, why you did that, oh God? I am not a dragon. I am not a dragon. Why you did that? Do you believe I am a dragon that I can and accept all this suffering? And he once said to God, why you are like a lion? You want to kill me. When he waited or he hoped to have consolation or rest or comfort from men, everything were converted against him. And when we speak with men and we expect they grant us comfort, we deceive ourselves. None can understand our inner man. Nobody can share me my feeling. In fact, this is the feeling of perhaps all of us in many times. I remember once a person was about 11 years old and he said, Vona, can I confess? I said, yes. He said, Father, I didn't find any person in the world understand me. I said, what about your dad? He said, surely he brings food, he works very hard on my behalf and so on, but he can't share me my inner feeling. He can't understand me, although he is a child. He couldn't imagine even his parents can imagine, can share him his feeling. Even David, the king, what he said, my father and my mother abandoned me, and my Lord embraced me. Many times, even the priest, the bishop, the ministers, a real Christian, many times we feel nobody can share me my inner feeling. This is what happened to Job, although when they came, they truly came to comfort him. But it is in the human nature. He started to attack him, he tried to defend himself, and at last he lost his peace, his joy, and everything. And he himself started to say many wrong words. I want to make a comparison between God and men. When we speak with men, when we speak with God. And I will take Job as an example. When Job entered in dialogue, and a long dialogue, with his three friends, and at last Elihu, the young person and one of his friends, he lost his peace. He lost his peace. Although they sometimes spoke something which was correct, we can't say that all their words were not right. No, many words were right, but their hearts was not pure. And they couldn't lift up the heart of Job above suffering. And instead of lifting him up, they put him down. And he asked God to grant him death as a gift. And he cursed the day on which he was born. This the situation of every one of us when we are suffering and we say, oh, my father in confession will grant me comfort. My father, my mother, my friend, whatever, any counselor can grant me comfort. Truly all of them can help you, but at first you have to enter in dialogue with God. All those outside God surely will not help you, but on the contrary, perhaps they will make suffering more severe. For when God spoke with him, what happened? He spoke about two things. This is very important. He spoke about, what do you want, Job? I am the creator. I created you while you was nil. I created the whole world specially for you. Where you were when I created the sun for you? Do you know my wisdom when I created the sea and I put limits for the oceans and the seas? And he started to give him many examples. All this world is created for you. You are very dear to me. Do you understand my divine plan concerning you? This is the first point. The second point, he said to him, do you know how your enemy is very severe? He called him, he gave the descriptions of the crocodile of the Nile. I don't know in English what his name, so I can move. Leviathan. In English the same, I think? Leviathan. It is perhaps a symbolic animal, but we can say all the description looks like the crocodile, because at that time they were afraid from the crocodiles, especially in the area of Syria and Egypt, because the rivers were full of crocodiles. And nobody can hunt the crocodile. It was very hard. He gave him two points. I love you. I created everything for you, even before your creation. And you don't understand my plan. There is an enemy, and he is very, very severe. You can't enter in battle with him. Nobody can enter in battle with the devil. What is the result of this speech? Job said, oh, I discover I am a sinner, I am a dust, and I discover I can't understand your wisdom, your plan. Can you teach me? I want to sit near your feet and you teach me. I want to make a comparison between the two. When when minister entered in dialogue with him, he was collapsed. And he said, oh, I want to die. I couldn't find even death. This is a great gift to me. This is the result of the dialogue with men. When he entered in dialogue with God, although God rebuked him, but he lifted him up. He said, I love you. You can't imagine what I am doing for you. You can't imagine what I will do with your enemy, which you can't enter in battle with him. And what is the result? He said, when he looked to God and said, oh, thanks God. What happened, Job? Before I heard about you from others. Now I see you personally. I see you personally. I am lucky because I see you. Then God said to him, I will send to him to you the friends and you pray for them, not to rebuke them. When he saw God and he loved and prayed and make intercession on behalf of his enemies, if we can call them enemies, because they have enmity against him, then God granted him double of all what he had lost, and he glorified him. We have to notice he didn't give him at first, or he didn't give him the solution of the problem. And then he said to him, forgive the sins of your enemies. He said, you have to start at first to pray for your enemies. And then, Job never asked for anything. And God granted him double of all what he had. Then when we are in contact with God, we will see him, our heart will be open, we will love all mankind, even the enemies. We will not even criticize them or blame them for any word. We can't hear Job saying, why you did so? Why you left me all this year? Why? He didn't say any bad words with them. He prayed for them as if they are or they were his sons. Then we can say, God wants everyone to be free, even if the price is to be crucified on our behalf. Satan, in fact, is working very hard. He never despairs until the end. And he is working all over the world, and he never despairs. He attacks more and more and more. Even in every battle with true Christians, he was defeated. Certain his friends, truly they have emotions, but they lost everything, and they, instead of give the solution to Job, they destroyed they collapsed his soul. Concerning Job himself, when he entered in dialogue with God, he saw him, and he opened his heart to all mankind, and thus he became the glorious one. Now I want to, at the end, just to have some comment. When we read the Bible, always I am looking to two things. Where is my Lord Jesus Christ, and where I am? Where is my Lord? I read the story. In the United States, there was a little child, and he has many problems in his heart. And the surgeon, the physician, came to make operation for his heart. You know, in the United States, and I think perhaps in Europe, I don't know, but in the United States, Canada, and Australia, used to speak frankly with the person and give the bad expectation, so that if anything happened, his parents or his relatives will not say, oh, he deceived us. They said, we expect perhaps you die, and you will have to sign if it is your responsibility. He spoke with him, although he was a child, that it is very serious, And we try to do our best concerning your heart. And then the child said to him, will you open my heart? He said, yes. He said, I ask you just one favor. He said, what? When you open my heart, speak, please speak with my Lord. You will find him in my heart, Jesus Christ. The doctor or the physician was atheist. He became very angry and said, now we are not speaking concerning Christ, we are speaking concerning your heart. He said, doctor, please, don't worry, I am not in trouble, I am in peace. When you open my heart, please be in good contact with my Lord Jesus Christ. He was upset, the doctor, and he started the operation. And when he was involved in the operation, he felt that as if somebody is in the room of the operation. Then he cried, oh Jesus Christ, are you here? And it is said he heard a voice in his heart. And he started to enter in dialogue with the Lord. And when he finished the operation, and after being in the when he spoke with the child, he said, everything is okay, we hope everything will be successful, the operation. He said, do you see my Lord Jesus Christ? I am not worried about the operation. I am just asking about my Lord. He said, yes. Do you speak with him? He said, I loved him because I met him in your heart. This is the feeling of the Christian. Where are our Lord? He is within us. And the second thing, where we are. I am in his heart. He abides in me. I abide in him. I hope truly we become like Job. We don't care when. Job was observed in suffering. His heart was very wide and very narrow. He couldn't accept the blame of his friends. When he didn't care about suffering and he entered in dialogue with God, he forget all his suffering. We don't hear him, please heal my body, please grant me comfort concerning my sons, my daughters, never. He looked and he said, oh, I am lucky. I see you, I can't imagine. I heard about you from my fathers and grandfathers. I received it through tradition. But now I see you, I speak face to face with you. I am with you. I hope truly that we have this experience every day. I don't think any person in the world without suffering. Can you find a person without suffering? Never. Every person says we are suffering. If you are absorbed in suffering, you lose your sight. If you pass over suffering by putting your hand in the hands of God, and you look to the hands of the Lord on the cross, and you say, oh, I am crucified with you. Even if there is pain, pain will be changed in sweetness. I tell you a story. I don't know if you like stories or not. I know the majority like the story. Once a father, Bishop Kamel, visited a person he suffered from something concerning his back. And he said, Abuna, I have very hard, severe headache. I can't even memorize our Father who art in heaven. I can't enter the church. I can't even hear any word, even Psalms or Bible or something like that. I don't ask to return to my work or just to wait. I want just to pray our Father who art in heaven or to go to the church and share in worship. Then Father Bishop said to him, do you know how the Lord Jesus Christ was suffering, especially on his back, while he was carrying the cross? He said, surely it was very hard. He says, when you feel any pain or suffering, said, oh, thanks God, I share you your suffering. I am crucified with you. It is a gift from you. Thanks a lot for you are interested in me. He said, but I want to pray. He said, just pray these words. He said, but I want to pray the Psalms, Our Father, any other prayers. He said, no. Just say, thanks God, I am crucified with you. After a couple of weeks, he came to the church, and Father Bishop, he was very, always he was joyful. He praised him and said, oh, congratulations. He said, no. What said? He said, I blame the Lord Jesus Christ. I entered in Khusuma, and he buried
him.
He said, why? I don't like what he did with me. He said, why? He said, when I tasted the sweetness of crucifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, he granted me healing. I don't want healing. I want to share him his crucifixion. Surely, when the person is crucified with the Lord, he will taste the sweetness of the Lord. There was a young person in Alexandria, and always he was upset. He had no job. He was unsuccessful. He always very in anxiety and so on. And Father Bishoy sent him to a job a person who was printing shop, something like that. Suddenly, the young person came. He was rejoicing. Father Bishoy was astonished. He said, why you are rejoicing? This is the first time I see you rejoicing. He said, Abuna, you don't know what happened to me? He said, no. He said, I have a lot of books on the bicycle, and on my way the bicycle fell down, and all the bicycle and all the books was on my head, and nobody took care of me. Then I cried, oh my Lord, nobody care about me, and I am suffering. And I looked to beside me, I found the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was also under the cross, and he was kneeling. Then I said, oh, how joyful you are with me. And unfortunately, they came and took the book and said, why they came? I want to enjoy these moments in which I see my Lord is crucified and I share him his crucifixion. Suffering is very, very sweet when you focus your eyes on Christ, especially the crucified Christ. When we are absorbed in suffering, we will be, in fact, I can say, very wicked, and we lose all our joy and peace. I hope all of us to suffer. No, to focus. To focus our eyes on the crucifixion of the Lord. And then we leave everything in the hands of God. I thank you for your patience. I want to tell you something. I said that in England when I was with Bishop Angelus. And I said it from my heart. I said to them, I tell you a story. Once while I was in Los Angeles, there was a lady, and this lady was very upset. And always she came and to complain. And once she came and she was very joyful. She had many problems with her husband, and she had many financial problems. And I asked her, why you are rejoicing? She said, Father, do you know what happened this morning? I said, what? She has a little child. She said, oh, my son, the little child, when he awoke, said to her, Mom, do you know I am the richest person in the world? She was astonished. How is it? He said, oh, nobody in the world more rich than me. Then she asked him, why you say that? He said, because I have you, you are my mom. You are my richness. I said to the young people in England, and the church surely says, I am richest, I am very rich with my young people. When we truly are in the hands of God, the church become very rich. You are the treasure of the church. I am saying this from all my heart. The church truly is involved in the young people, and the treasure of the church in the young people, not in the old ones. But I hope to be care of what you have, for everything is very precious in your heart. Thank you.